Guests, friends, family, congregation, welcome as we worship the Lord our God this evening. And we begin our worship service confessing in the words of Psalm 124, verse 8, that our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth. And our Lord greets us. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Having come into the presence of our God and confessed our need and heard his greeting, we continue in worship with the singing of Psalter Selection 425. Psalter Selection 425, and we sing together the first two stanzas of this version of Psalm 105 to the praise of our God. Our first scripture reading this evening, or rather I should say our scripture reading this evening, is from Acts chapter 8, reading together verses 26 through 39. Acts chapter 8, reading together verses 26 through 39. Please give your attention to the reading of God's inspired and infallible word. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias or Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture with which he read was, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. And thus far our reading of God's holy and infallible word. May the Holy Spirit add his blessing to the reading of his word. We now continue in worship with a reading of the Apostles' Creed. We confess our faith corporately in the reading of the Apostles' Creed, and let everyone say in their heart, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic, and that is universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, congregation, at this time we will proceed in the course of our worship service with confession of faith, with the asking of our confession of faith questions and hearing the answers in response. Then we will proceed to baptism, and after the baptism, I'll have a few personal words of charge to those who have confessed faith before this body. Well, at this time, I would like to ask Tara Beakey, Brandon Eckert, Brianna Gower, Joel Westring, and Brittany Westring to please stand. I will read the questions for public confession of faith, which you can find in the very back of your Psalters on page 130. And I'll read all of these questions and then in turn ask each of you by name to respond. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation conforming with the sacred scriptures? Do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent in either doctrine or in life? Brittany, what is your answer? Joel, what is your answer? Bree, what is your answer? Tara, what is your answer? Brendan, what is your answer? Please be seated. At this time, I would like to turn further in our Psalter to the form for adult baptism. The form for adult baptism, which you can find on page 126. Page 126, the form for the administration of baptism. And we'll read together page 126, and then we'll be turning to page 128. The first column and the top of the second column on page 126, the form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. Turning over then to page 128, and beginning with the second full paragraph under the heading marked 2, to the adult persons. However, children of Christian parents, although they understand not this mystery, must be baptized by virtue of the covenant. Yet it is not lawful to baptize those who are come to years of discretion, except they first be sensible of their sins and make confession both of their repentance and faith in Christ. For this cause did not only John the Baptist preach, according to the command of God, the baptism of repentance, and baptized for the remission of sins those who confess their sins, Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, but our Lord Jesus Christ also commanded his disciples to teach all nations, and then to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16. Adding this promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. According to which rule the apostles, as appeareth from Acts 2, 10 and 16, baptized none who were of years of discretion, but such as made confession of their faith and repentance. Therefore, it is not lawful now to baptize any other adult person than such as have been taught the mysteries of holy baptism by the preaching of the gospel, and are able to give an account of their faith by the confession of the mouth, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. Let us pray. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism is signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon this person and incorporate her by the Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that she may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing his cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that she may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I will now address Bree with the words of the form and then ask her to stand to ask the questions. Since therefore thou, Bree Gower, art also desirous of holy baptism, to the end that it may be to thee a seal of thine ingrafting into the church of God, that it may appear that thou dost not only receive the Christian religion in which thou hast been privately instructed by us, and of which also thou hast made confession before us, but that thou, or you, through the grace of God intendest and purposest to lead a life according to the same, you are sincerely to give answer before God and his church. Bree, would you please stand? And please answer after I read all the questions. First, do you believe in the only true God, distinct in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who has made heaven and earth, and all that in them is, of nothing and still maintains and governs them, insomuch that nothing comes to pass, either in heaven or on earth, without his divine will? Secondly, dost thou believe that thou art conceived and born in sin, therefore are a child of wrath by nature, wholly incapable of doing any good and prone to all evil, that you have frequently in thought, word, and deed transgressed the commandments of the Lord, and whether you are heartily sorry for these sins? Thirdly, do you believe that Christ, who is the true and eternal God and very man, who took his human nature on him out of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, is given thee of God to be thy Savior, and that you do receive by this faith remission of sins in his blood, and that you are made by the power of the Holy Ghost a member of Jesus Christ and his church? Fourthly, do you assent to all the articles of the Christian religion as they are taught here in this Christian church, according to the Word of God, and purpose steadfastly to continue in the same doctrine to the end of your life? And also, do you reject all heresies and schisms repugnant to this doctrine and promise to preserve in the communion of the Christian church, not only in the hearing of the word, but also in the use of the Lord's Supper? Fifthly, have you taken a firm resolution always to lead a Christian life, to forsake the world and its evil lusts, as is becoming the members of Christ and His church, and to submit yourself to all Christian admonitions? Bree, what is your answer? Then please come forward and receive the sacrament of baptism. Bree Gower, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Congregation, we now sing together Psalter Selection 425, stanza 5. Please stand to sing if you're able. Psalter Selection 425, stanza 5. The good and great God mercifully grant His grace and blessing to this your purpose, Bree, through Jesus Christ. Let us continue in prayer as a congregation together, and we will begin our prayer following the words of the form, and then continue with a free prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern this baptized person by Thy Holy Spirit, that she may lead a Christian and godly life and increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that she may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to him and to us, and live in all righteousness under our teacher, King, and High Priest Jesus Christ, and that she may manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that she may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one true God. And as we continue in prayer, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy grace and care, not only over our congregation, not only over all Thy people worldwide, but, Lord, for the goodness of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he yet calls men and women and boys and girls to faith and repentance. Holy Spirit, bless those who have confessed faith this evening. And we pray, Lord, that in the midst of the temptations they may now face from the devil, in the midst of the struggles that could come in the weeks and months and years ahead, that, Lord, as they have confessed thee, so, Lord, impress upon their minds and hearts that thou will not forsake them. For, Lord, it is by thy grace they and all thy people must be kept. So, Heavenly Father, continue to teach, continue to instruct, and continue to draw sinners to Christ. Holy Spirit, we pray for a sense of thy presence this evening, that thou will be that comforter sent to us by the Lord Jesus to lead us into all truth, and that thou would indeed open our minds and our hearts to receive the word with joy and gladness. Remember not only those who have confessed faith, and Brie Gower as she has been baptized, but remember all the family and friends who have come to join us and partake in the joy of this event. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that this time spent together, calling upon thy name in worship, would be to the edification and strengthening of all of us. Truly, Lord, make it a blessing to our minds and hearts. And we pray, Lord, not only for us, but we pray, Lord, for the gospel to go forward, for people from every nation, tribe, and tongue, from every background, for people who profess false religions, for people who profess no religion, that they would indeed come and bend the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, again we pray for Jesus' sake that thou would be with us through the course of this worship service, and continue, Lord, to bless and guide thy people. We ask all these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen. It is the custom of our denomination and congregation to have a charge given to the new members of the church who have confessed their faith in Christ. And I have had a brief opportunity to get to know some of the people set before me in class over cups of coffee and visits. And as part of our tradition of choosing a text for each one of them as they've confessed faith, it took quite a bit of time. But as I thought and prayed about your personalities, your characters, and the short time I've gotten to know you, different texts did come to mind. Brittany, in the course of marriage counseling, before I was honored to perform your wedding, speaking to you in the confession of faith class from time to time, getting together for fellowship, I have always been blessed by the freedom and willingness of your heart to receive the Word of God on whatever subject, simple or complex. Many children of God struggle with submitting to the Heavenly Father and challenging His Word. And you have freely and willingly, after a time of scrutiny and prayer, like a Berean, simply accepted it. And that is a blessed thing. I put before you these words from Isaiah 66, verse 2. The context is one that is a bit challenging, even perhaps some would say a bit negative. But the second part of the verse is a great encouragement. I hope it will be for you. Isaiah 66, verse 2. But to this man, in this case this woman, will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth not, and trembleth at my word. I hope you will always accept that word with joy and faith, as I have had opportunity to see. Joel, you have a very quick mind. you have a very thoughtful heart. And as you weigh and think through and struggle through things and analyze, bit by bit, line by line, piece by piece, do so always trusting God, waiting on God. You are a doer. Further, you are an accomplisher. And when it comes to waiting on the Lord, do not think that is a passive thing. As you apply yourself with the depths of all your abilities God has given you, not only in business, but in family and care, apply yourself to Him. To wait on Him is to look to Him, to guide you, to lead you. The biblical example of waiting is like a servant charged with bringing food to a royal person or a higher up in society. They watch and they look, waiting to see what will happen, what they will do. It's a very active position to be a waiter or to wait upon someone. With all your might, brother, with everything that is in you, with every marvelous gift of talent and willingness to work, wait upon the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Bree, you are a seeker, a looker, a digger. You do not take at face value what is before you. And you long to know and understand and do what is right before God and man. And that is a blessed thing. I am humbled and blessed to be able to perform your baptism and now to officially not only be your friend, but your pastor. And as I was thinking and praying about our time together, I wanted to encourage you in your searching and your looking. And by the grace of God, as you already have, you will continue to find. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Brandon, out of all the people who made confession of faith today, I think I know you probably the least, that I had the opportunity to have you in catechism. Strong, silent type, but at the same time thoughtful and serious about those most important of things. As I have seen you just in the short time I've known you and opportunities to talk, keep working, keep pursuing. I have seen you in the things you love and the things you are committed to. Give it your all. So whether it is love and relationship, whether it is work, but especially the Lord Jesus Christ, pursue Him with everything. Delight in Him. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Tara, I can remember family visits with your family 10 years ago or more. And though I have not had the opportunity to see you grow, it is a blessing to see how you have matured and grown. To hear of your burden for the gospel and people who don't know the Lord Jesus, and your energy and simple faith to follow in Christ and whatever it may have you do. I wanted to encourage you in that same spirit of looking and seeking. Because as you do, God will continually reveal Himself to you in every step and every phase of your life. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I have remembered each of you in prayer through the course of class and through the course of our relationship together. And I want to assure you that you all now continue in my prayers as members of the body of Christ shown here in our congregation. Well, let us continue in worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Your first collection being taken for the general fund and your second for the denominational fund. And then we will sing together Psalter selection 425, stanzas 3 and 4. And may the Lord our God bless us as we continue in worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings and the offering of his praise from Psalter selection 425, stanzas 3 and 4. Well, we have just witnessed certain young people confess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and one of them be baptized. Why would they do that? It's a very odd thing. It's a very strange thing. How often, boys and girls, have you seen this in our church? You see baptism of infants, but not always of adults. How often do we have confession of faith? A special service for it. When people particularly join themselves to be members of the church. Once a year? Doesn't happen that often. And on top of it, in this world, and in our very hearts, by nature, we don't want to stand up before a group of people and confess we need the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. We don't want to stand up before a group of people and say, Lord, I want to follow thy laws and thy words and thy ways, because my words, my ways, and the laws I make for myself are wrong. We don't do that. Indeed, apart from the grace of God, that's absolutely impossible. So where does the desire to confess faith, where does the desire to be baptized come from? Well, some people from different religious backgrounds may say, well, it comes from the fact everybody just does it when they graduate high school. Or if you want to be married in the church or have your kids baptized, well, that's what you do. Or maybe all my friends were doing it too. Sadly, those may be wrong reasons people confess faith and are baptized. But that's not where the desire comes from. That's not where the desire to do it comes from. In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, we see very simply, very clearly, this Ethiopian eunuch, this non-Israelite of the highest governmental ranking, confessing faith in God and wanting to be baptized. We see this desire in him, like we've seen this desire set before us in the hearts of these people this evening. Where does that desire come from? Further, after we see where that desire comes from, how is it shown? How does it display itself? And thirdly, after we see where it comes from, how it's shown, what does it end in? What does it end in? Well, desiring to confess and be baptized. In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 9, quite clearly, the Ethiopian eunuch desires to confess faith and be baptized because of the word of Christ. Because the word of our Lord Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, is sent down through his messengers, and touches the hearts of his people. Happens twice in our text. First, when the Lord sends Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 2, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake. A heavenly messenger sent from God spoke to Philip. The word of God came first. The word of God came first. And saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Angel comes and tells him, a messenger from Jehovah, sent by the Lord Jesus himself, go to the desert. And it might seem like a bit of an odd command, but he goes. That is the first instant we see of this desire to confess and baptize comes from the word of Christ. Firstly, in sending Philip, but secondly, in actually calling the Ethiopian and calling him. And in the scriptures, often calling isn't like the way we think of calling. Maybe you've been playing outside and your mom or dad shouts your name and tells you to come in for lunch or dinner. And it can be very tempting just to keep jumping on the trampoline, or keep playing in the pool, or keep running in the field, or stay riding your bike. Your mom, maybe your dad, can call you to come in all they want. But that calling doesn't make you come to them. You have to pay attention. You have to incline your heart and go. You see, when God calls people, often in Scripture, it's not a calling that you disobey, that you ignore. Just like the Almighty God spoke and called the stars and the planets and this world into existence. So when he calls the Ethiopian eunuch, he calls him to spiritual life. And by the power of his word, renews him and draws him effectually to him. Working an acknowledgement of God, working a knowledge of his own sin, and working in him a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is desirous to confess and be baptized because of the word of Christ in sending Philip, and secondly, in calling the Ethiopian eunuch. Verses 35 through 37 of Acts chapter 8. As Philip has found the Ethiopian eunuch and sees him, he goes up to him, is sitting with him in the chariot over the book of Isaiah. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Here in these words, verses 35 through 37 of Acts 8, we see the Ethiopian called through the power of God, through the word of God. In fact, there's even more detail in the text of how it is he's called and what use the Lord uses, what means rather the Lord uses to bring him to himself, to cause him to trust in him for his salvation. To go back to Philip, verse 29 of Acts chapter 8. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, the Lord had used the word of the angel. Now the Lord uses the word and the inclining of the Spirit. But notice it's still the word. Still the word of Christ, by angel or by spirit. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Just go there. And he does. Philip ran thither to him. And as he ran next to the chariot and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. Now, this is a very strange thing. Here is this Ethiopian. He's going to be dark black. And here is Philip. He's going to be of a lighter complexion of skin. And we sometimes think in Western culture that race is such a tremendously huge problem and we must right wrongs and all types of things. And certainly there have been racial atrocities throughout the history of this world. But the world we live in is not nearly as racially charged as it was then, particularly between Jews and Gentiles. But here, Philip, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, goes up to this Ethiopian eunuch. And two things are quite striking. This man is very, very high class. This man is in charge of all the queen's money. He's one of the major politicians of Ethiopia doing business in the area. That'd be very intimidating, wouldn't it? The prime minister just happens to be driving by and you happen to go up next to him. It'd be intimidating. But further, perhaps even more striking, this man has a very rare scroll copy, apparently, of Isaiah. And for whatever reason, curiosity, custom, He's touring and wants to know a little bit of the culture. We're not sure. He's reading Isaiah. And he's reading Isaiah 53 about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for sinners. The sufferings and horrors of crucifixion prophesied by Isaiah. What an amazing, blessed opportunity the Lord, by his word here, gives Philip. And Philip goes to him, and Philip opens the word to him. Verse 31, or rather, I should say verse 30. As he ran thither to him, and he sees he's reading Isaiah, he asks him, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Do you know what you read? Do you get this? Do you understand this? See, that's the way pastors should teach people to read the Bible. If sometimes you read the Bible and you don't understand it, and you need help, you're not alone. Here is this highly trained, very important government official, extremely educated, educated enough to read the scroll of this language that he normally wouldn't be able to. But he needs help understanding it. We all do. We all do. Don't be afraid to ask for help in understanding the scriptures. That's why the Spirit was given to lead us into all truth. That's why myself and the elders are gifts of God to you, to help you understand the Word of God. Do not be afraid to admit you don't know. It's the first way to start learning. But further, he asked, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" How am I supposed to understand this unless somebody shows me? He's not afraid to admit it. And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Stranger runs over next to him by the chariot and says, "Here, you come sit with me and explain this to me." And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Deep words, drenched and soaked in blood and suffering of a substitute, God and man, as we'll see a bit further, God and man in the flesh, to pay the price for your and my sins, for sinners like us, to pay the price for sinners that will put their trust in him, who will look to him for forgiveness. It provides an atonement. Those are the words he's reading. Those are the words that the Spirit will use to call Philip. This is what Jesus is speaking. Congregation, these are the words Jesus always speaks when he works in your heart a desire to confess faith. Words like Isaiah 53, which for time we will not read. But tonight, before you go to bed, read that chapter from God's holy word. Words that confront us with our sin. Words that confront us with God's just judgment. And most beautifully, most clearly, most strikingly, words that confront us with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as he has kept the law and suffered in the place of sinners as a sacrifice to appease the justice of God and turn away his wrath. If you wondered if the Lord is working a desire in you to confess his faith, perhaps the Lord is working in you a desire to be baptized if you have not been already. Plain and simple question to honestly ask yourself. Plain and simple question. Is God, through his word, confronting you with your sin? and you're convicted of it and you say yes when you're found out to be a sinner. And that bothers you. It's not something you lightly shrug off. And your concern about your sin is not just that you have done wrong. And not just that, yeah, you would be worthy of hell if God were to punish you for it. But that what you have done has offended Him. It's a wrong committed against Him. And out of that conviction of guilt and wrongdoing, you are not only fearful of judgment, but that you want it to be made right. And you know it should be made right. Because He is just and He is right. And that is important to you, perhaps like it never has been before. But further, not only that Word of God comes speaking of your sin, but it speaks of Christ. Speaks of the Lord Jesus and His sufferings on the cross, His blood that was shed. And as that Word is worked in your heart, it satisfies you that His suffering was enough. You understand by the grace of God that He died because you should die. You understand that He was an acceptable sacrifice because He was innocent and you are guilty. And the thought of Him and His sufferings, though in the text it's filled with torture and blood and wounding, a detestable and wretched thing to see with the eye, but a beautiful thing to behold by faith of the heart. You find comfort in His sacrifice. And you stand in awe of His humility. Of His willingness to suffer. And how glorious He is to do what no one else could or indeed would ever do for someone as detestable as you and me, who have turned their back on their Creator and betrayed their friends. And there is not only that sin, there is not only that glory and beauty of Christ, there is a desire to serve Him for the sake of what He has done. A desire to serve Him, to stop living for yourself and not just do what you want, but you want to do what He wants. You want to serve Him. Those things, sorrow for sin, a beauty and love and desire for Christ, and a longing to serve Him, that doesn't come from you, that doesn't come from the devil, that comes from one place. The Word of God at work in a sinner's heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what the Lord is using here. As He sent Philip, as He's calling the Ethiopian eunuch, as He is called by the grace of God so many of us, as indeed maybe tonight He's even calling you. But that is where that desire comes from. The Word of Christ. And that desire that He works is simply and beautifully shown in two ways further. It is shown in two ways. It is shown in word and it is shown in action. It is shown in what you say and it is shown in what you do. Firstly, this calling and this faith the Ethiopian eunuch has is shown in word, in confession, in a confession of faith. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, or to put it another way, if you're serious about it, if you mean it, if this is something you are convicted of, if this is something true, not this is custom, not this is tradition, not you're doing it because of pressure from your friends or your family, from your church. But if this is something real in your heart, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, and this is what every confession of the Lord Jesus Christ is in a nutshell. This is every confession every Christian needs to make from their heart in a nutshell. You can boil down 3 questions. You can boil down 5 questions. You can boil down 10, 20 questions. Everything boils down, as it were, to this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe Jesus, that man born in Nazareth, or rather I should say born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth so long ago from our point of time. I believe he, Jesus, is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised deliverer that Jewish boys and girls and men and women have been looking for since the very beginning of time, when God gave the promise to Adam and Eve that one would come to crush the head of the serpent. I believe he's the greater than David. I believe he is the greater priest and the prophet. I believe that he is the one that has come to fulfill the law, every prophecy in the Old Testament, and the obligations God has for every one of his creatures. That he has fulfilled the law and done for them what they could not do. What Adam, as a son of God, failed to do. What Israel, as the son of God, failed to do. What you and I, as sons and daughters of God, have failed to do, he has done. Kept the law. He is the Christ, the one to deliver. Not only keep the law, but as Isaiah 53 and the words we briefly considered previously, he is the one that came to suffer as the Lamb of God. He is the Christ. But as Jesus the Christ, and this is the second main part of his confession and every confession, he is not only Jesus the Christ, but he is the Son of God. He is not only man, he is God. He is not only human, he is divine. He is God himself, to use the words of the Old Testament, the Lord our righteousness, come to deliver us. That's why so often in the scriptures, so beautifully, they confess that he is truly eternal God. In the book of Acts, as Paul's explaining the gospel, it talks about how God bled, how God redeemed his church with his own blood. God doesn't bleed, congregation, except according to a human nature. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one in the history of the world to be God and man, to be able to fulfill the law and suffer the very wrath of God. Further, what a glorious thing that Thomas, having been relieved of his doubts, cries out, "My Lord and my God." Every confession of faith looks like that. They can all be boiled down to that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you? We've heard that confession this evening. We've read this confession from the Ethiopian. But do you? And this is life and death. If you say, "No, I don't believe Jesus is the Christ. I don't believe he's the one to make us right with a holy God. I don't." And you don't believe he is the Son of God. You don't believe he is the eternal Son of the Father who took upon himself our flesh to come under the law. If you do not believe that, you are in serious trouble. Because you will have to answer to the justice of God and the wrath of God. God is real. God is there. Despite the supposed best explanations of science about the origin of the world, which all the greatest science, when it comes to it, boils down to this: something came from nothing. Profoundly absurd. Even if the Big Bang and evolution and so many other things were somehow true, never in the experience of anyone, no matter how wise a philosopher or brilliant an observer of any type of science, Does something come from nothing? No. Everything came from somewhere, someone, and that is God. And is so evident in the history of our race, in the very ways we think and act. There is right, there is wrong, there is good, there is bad. And those concepts are not ultimately socially conditioned. It is not emotionally and intellectually satisfying to say murder and rape and theft and lying are only wrong because we all think it is. Nor do morals and ethics evolve. There's no discernible information for that. No, rather these things indicate to us quite clearly, very plain, simple logic, very plain, simple observations about the moral nature that we have, that there is a God, that there is right and wrong, and that you and I are in trouble. Because we're not right, are we? We need someone to redeem us. We need a Messiah. We need a Christ who is God and man to save us. If that desire is being worked in your heart tonight, and you might not be saying it with your lips, but it's echoing out of your very soul, as it were, your very heart and mind's conviction, it is right with you before the Lord. That you indeed believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But if you do not, you are confessing also something very serious. And that is, if you were to die, you have no way to stand before God. But you don't have to die that way. Further, even more blessed, you don't have to live that way either. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him in His Word, even as God is working it in you, these questions and these thoughts and these desires. So you will have the greatest of hope, not only for the life to come, but for this life too. And that's why these words manifested themselves in action for the Ethiopian eunuch and for us even this evening. A confession that showed itself in baptism. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The practice of baptism at the time as we know it, archaeologically and practically, given to possible depths of rivers and bodies of water, is the person to be baptized and the person to do the baptizing walk down into the water and kneel down, and water is poured over their head. It's called effusion. And in the history of our tradition, and biblically so, we don't fight about how the water is applied. There's disagreements about when. And the important thing is not when or how, ultimately. The important thing is the washing away of sins for the sake of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which it signifies. That confession being further displayed by action. Here, he is an Ethiopian. He knew nothing of the laws of God. Stranger to Israel. And we believe and confess that baptism comes in the place of circumcision. So the action to be taken for someone that was baptized as a child is not to be baptized again. The action that is to be taken upon the confession of your faith is obedience. Obedience. Not a slavish, mandatory obedience, but a loving, sincere, heartfelt desire to serve your Lord. Is that your desire? To obey Him, to follow Him? And if by the grace of God it is, it should result in rejoicing. Spirit worked desire to confess and be baptized, which is worked by the word of Christ. It shows itself in word and action, results, culminates, ends and rejoicing and happiness. First, for one, for the Ethiopian eunuch himself. Verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Just as miraculously he was directed, so miraculously he is sent away. And he went on his way rejoicing. What a thing. He didn't understand even who Jesus was in Isaiah 53. He didn't know if it was somebody else, or it was the author himself. And Philip comes alongside of him and helps him. And in the course of we don't know how long a chariot ride, he understands who Jesus is. He understands who he is and what he's done and why Jesus had to die. And he needs to confess Jesus and be baptized. Something that indeed could have carried a stigma for a man of great reputation and government standing. And though Philip is taken away, the one who opened up to him the scriptures, the one who introduced him to Jesus is taken away. Even in the midst of those challenges, there is still the joy, the rejoicing, the gladness, the happiness, the excitement and purpose to serve. For those of you family members and guests visiting with us, to come and celebrate this and rejoice in this confession and this baptism, thank you for coming. And please share your joy with those that have confessed. As we see here, it's one person's joy set before us in the text, but by the grace of God, let it be for all. If your family member or friends made confession of faith today, encourage them. With your words, with your actions, pray for them and support them in this. Let their joy be your joy too. In congregation, we have new professing members to rejoice in and with together in our Lord Jesus Christ. For some, they're cousins and brothers and sisters and longtime friends. For some, they're not. Get to know them. Make sure they feel welcome. They may know, but make sure they do. And continue to pray for them. And let this be a joyful time, not only for them, but for you and for us, that we would rejoice together in what the Spirit has worked. And if you want joy in your heart about this too, if you've heard maybe even for the first time about this Ethiopian eunuch guy and this Philip guy, maybe you've never read Isaiah 53. Maybe you're not familiar with desires to confess faith in Christ or to be baptized. You've never given serious thought to your own sin or what alone Jesus Christ had to suffer. Please do. Please do. It will not hurt you one bit to give it thought and to search the scriptures. Pascal, a thinker from so long ago, engaged in what is probably a questionable apologetic method of defending the faith, but nonetheless it rings true. It hurts you nothing to take serious the claims of God, to investigate them. It only enriches you as a person, to say nothing, helping you understand the history of our own culture. But you stand to lose everything if indeed you were to plug your ears to God as he pleads with you to pay attention to him who has made you. And as he warns you about your sin and the situation you are in. And as he has sent his son to die for the likes of you and me, so you will not have to go lost. If you ignore that, you ignore your very salvation. There is never any downside to reading the Word of God and seeking him. Not only that, but you, by the grace of God, if you follow him and look to him in his Word and seek to guidance and help to understand it, even from some guy who had rung alongside your chariot. The Lord blesses your searching of His Word. You will find true and lasting joy that will not depart. It will last longer than a friendship. It will last longer than an intimate relationship. It will last longer than the best beer buzz or any hit from any drug you got. It will give purpose and meaning to your life. And you will have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you will have hope when your conscience strikes you for what you do wrong. And when you are reminded once again of how far short you have fallen. To put it simply, you will have everything you need in heaven and earth. And that is no lie. And I challenge you, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I get to tell you these words. I have had the tremendous opportunity to conduct this worship service on behalf of the greatest being in the universe. As His representative, I urge you, I plead with you. If you do not yet put your trust in Him, prove me wrong. And as you look to God, if you indeed seek Him, He will not turn away from you. Congregation, family and friends and visitors, He is the one that works that very desire, culminating in a desire to confess His name as He teaches you your sin and the glorious work of His Son and grants you the greatest of joys in delighting in His service. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit for His great work. We thank Thee for this opportunity to worship Thee on this day of rest, to call upon Thy name together and delight together to hear the confessions of Thy people and see the gospel shown through the simple application of water. Lord Jesus, feed Thy people this evening. And Lord Jesus, draw Thy people to Thee for the first time or afresh. Heavenly Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Well, we continue now, congregation, responding to the preaching of God's Word with the singing of Psalter Selection 425, stanza 6. Our doxology will then be Psalter Selection 291, stanza 12. And I will ask those who have made confession of faith to please exit with me and partake in, I guess, the handshake line, as we may officially call it, so the visitors and the rest of the church family can encourage you in your confession.